Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, here we are just over the midway point of the SEC season, and the conference's coaching carousel has already been sent into motion. I think this is interesting because, you know, in the summer, one of the narratives that was being thrown around in sports media circles was that this pandemic was going to change the way athletic departments operate. No more of these huge buyouts to coaches when they got several years left on their contract. No more just outrageous spending on things that you really don't need. It's like, no, that's not true. That's not true at all. Like, I mean, the pandemic has maybe caused some athletic departments to find ways to save money in other areas. But when it comes to being shy about firing coaches because of buyouts, Will Muschamp can now attest, after he's been fired at South Carolina and is owed a buyout of more than $13 million, that the pandemic didn't really change anything.
I thought it was interesting that Utah State fired its coach about three games in. Utah State. If Utah State's willing to do that, what is the SEC willing to do? You're exactly right. All that rhetoric, that's just what it was. Rhetoric. The SEC programs want to win, and it doesn't matter if they would have to pay Will Muschamp $23 million. They've seen enough at South Carolina. They just want to make a change, and so there we have it. He's a defensive-minded coach whose defense never slowed down Ole Miss's offense last week. I think that was a final straw.
Muschamp's final record at South Carolina, 28-30. And, of course, one of the things about Muschamp's firing that is the reason why we're leading off our podcast with this is, obviously, Jeremy Pruitt is an embattled coach at Tennessee in year three. His record, John, correct me if I'm wrong, I know you did the math on this recently, it's 15-16, correct?
Yes, same as Butch Jones is what his predecessors was after 31 games.
Yeah, of course, Butch went 9-4 in year three, and there was some reason to be optimistic. Right now, not much reason to be optimistic in Tennessee's program. Vols are sitting at 2-4, four-game losing streak. If they lose to Auburn on Saturday, it would be the program's first five-game losing streak since Tennessee started the 1988 season 0-6. And so embattled coach certainly applies to Jeremy Pruitt right now, but his buyout is, as of December 1st, Jeremy Pruitt's buyout would be $12.88 million. The cost of getting rid of his entire coaching staff, which tends to happen when you get rid of a head coach, or at least the majority of the coaching staff. If you got rid of the entire coaching staff, it would cost more than $19 million in severance. And it wasn't long ago we said on this podcast that might be cost prohibitive for Tennessee. And I do think that it still could be. So on the one hand, the pandemic's not going to stop all universities from firing coaches and paying big buyouts. I do think that it could help secure Pruitt for year four. However, on the heels of South Carolina firing its coach with a very similar buyout to what Pruitt has, John, do you think this increases the possibility or puts pressure on Tennessee to make a change if Pruitt is unable to turn this thing around here in the final four games this season?
Well, sure it does, and it also gives Tennessee sort of an out. It's not as though it's on an island that in the face of a coronavirus pandemic and the drastic reduction, millions of dollars lost in revenue, that Tennessee is so wasteful and so tone deaf to what's going on. South Carolina did it, and it's a lesser football program than Tennessee. So I think, Tennessee fans will look at that and say, hey, if the Gamecocks are willing to cut loose a guy, why aren't we? It's about the same price tag. So I think it does. But as I said, it also gives Tennessee, I think, I don't know, sort of a pass. It's like, okay, it's okay to do this. South Carolina did it. I don't know what the buyout for Utah State was. Surely not at that level. But nonetheless, you just have, this is the way college football works. And as you said at the top of the podcast, pandemics don't change that. So, yeah, the other factor in it is, How many top flight coaches are out there? Not that Tennessee has a history of getting top flight coaches, but how many are out there where you might have a reasonable shot at? And if so, you want to get in on the ground floor for those guys. And I think that's a big factor in this as well.
Well, let's address that right there, because the top flight coach that is going to dominate the coaching hot board dialogue during this offseason is Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze doing some impressive things in his rehabilitation job there at Liberty, has Liberty ranked in the top 25. And Liberty, the idea of Liberty being in the top 25 before Hugh Freeze, I don't even know if they had a program. Did they? I mean, how long has that program existed?
It's short lived. In fact, football's probably been going on there a shorter length of time than it has been at Georgia State.
25 or 26 point underdog, depending.
You say 26, I say 25. Yeah. I think everybody gets the message.
Hugh Freeze is going to dominate the dialogue for any Power Five program that winds up with a head coach opening. He's going to be on the hot board at South Carolina, already is. And if Tennessee were to have an opening, he would be atop every hot board you read for Tennessee. And even Auburn. I mean, Gus Malzahn never seems to get too far off the hot seat at Auburn. And it would be even more expensive for Auburn to get rid of Malzahn. His buyout, I believe, tops $20 million. You know, we're really getting to where maybe it does push the limit a little bit in a pandemic year. But I don't know. Malzahn can never get too far off the hot seat. So we'll see how this season finishes for him. You know, in past coaching searches, John Gruden has always been the white whale for Tennessee. And it was always like Gruden was not, he was not coming here. Wasn't going to happen. But Hugh Freeze feels like at least a realistic, well, I'll take realistic out of there and I'll let you tell me how realistic it is. But it's a possibility. Gruden, I don't think it was ever really a possibility, at least not during the coaching search that I covered after Butch Jones was fired. You could speak better to previous coaching searches, but I don't feel like Gruden was really a possibility for Tennessee. Hugh Freeze, he would listen. If Tennessee came calling, I think Hugh Freeze would listen. What do you think?
Oh, I think he would more than listen. I think if Tennessee called Hugh Freeze today and said, "We want you to be our next coach," he would say done. And that would be it. I think when he was at Ole Miss, I was told that he would have liked to have eventually worked his way to Tennessee because he thought you could win a national championship at Tennessee. I think a lot of coaches, if they're very competitive, and most of them are, would like to win a national title. It looks good on your resume. It looks better than obsessive calling to escort services, certainly. Just throw that out on Hugh Freeze. He's got a few glitches on his resume, but you can look past that, particularly when you're as desperate for your football program as Tennessee needs to be at this point. So, yeah, if he's offered South Carolina or Tennessee, he's going to take Tennessee. And I can't imagine South Carolina not already getting in touch with Hugh Freeze. I mean, he doesn't want to stay at Liberty, although I'm sure he says it's a wonderful place. I never want to leave here unless something just really a dream job came along, and any job in the SEC he would consider a dream job at this point. So, yeah, I think he would be very much, that wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't be like trying to land Dan Mullen or, as you brought up, John Gruden.
Yeah. And with Hugh Freeze, you alluded to the baggage there. He obviously comes with a lot of it, not just the scandal with escort services that he endured there at, well, I shouldn't say endured, brought on himself at Ole Miss. But no one brought that on him. He brought that on himself. There was also NCAA scandal as well. So you take the escort girls out of it, escort women, I should say, out of it. And there was an NCAA scandal as well. So he would come with baggage. He's had this rehabilitation stint there at Jerry Falwell Jr.'s old school at Liberty, and has perhaps served his time. I mean, do you think he's Do you think he's done his time, John, to where he could come back into the SEC and, one, get a school like Tennessee to hire him, but, two, Greg Sankey, with Hugh Freeze's past with the NCAA, with that those NCAA issues, Greg Sankey would have to sign off on this hire as well.
Well, he wasn't given a show cause. You don't have to get the NCAA's permission to pursue him as a coach. I mean, that's the most serious penalty in a way. So
show cause, no, but the SEC has a bylaw. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but the SEC commissioners, that they don't like being heavy-handed about that. They work for the university presidents in the conference, and they would like to just come to an agreement on these things. And I think if Greg Sankey looks at UT's program, he said it would say it's in dire straits, and if they can get a better coach, it would be better for the league. You have to grade on the curve here. You look at what goes on in college football. It's not as though Hugh Freeze presided over a program that was rife with sexual assaults on the part of his football players. You know, there were questions about money exchanging hands between the program and football players, which goes on everywhere. He just happened to get caught. As far as the escort service, there wasn't like anything really proved there. I mean, you can draw conclusions, obviously, but no, I think he served his time. In college football, you're not trying to hire a saint. Nowhere close. You're trying to hire somebody that can win games. He's done his time. He's worked at Liberty. He was out of coaching for a year, wasn't he? Or did he get the Liberty job right away? I think he was out of coaching for a year.
I believe he was out of coaching for the 2017
season. Okay. So he goes to college football jail for a year. Time off for good behavior. And what's he doing now? He's winning every game, not on the big stage, but on a stage where no one else has really done anything before. And then you look at the track record. He won 10 games at Ole Miss. Not easy to do. He also beat Alabama a couple of times. Really difficult to do. Just think how that must resonate with Tennessee. Somebody that can beat Alabama, somebody that can win 10 games, those are foreign concepts at UT now.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Vol fans, how do you chill out each week? Hi, this is Adam for Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that, of course, is Coors Light. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, a perfect moment to unwind in our busy lives. If the Vol game is on, or any game for that matter, reach for Coors Light and that mountain cold refreshment. That's what I do. When you want to chill out, flip through the channels and crack open a cold Coors Light. Each week, the games are getting more and more important, so make sure your refrigerator is stocked up with the one that is made to chill, Coors Light. It's the one beer I recommend when I just want to relax. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
John, I want to continue with this dialogue with Tennessee and Hugh Freeze and the opening there at South Carolina. First, let's get this out of the way. As it stands today, how likely do you think it is that Jeremy Pruitt will be back next season? I mean, are we dealing really all in hypotheticals here that don't matter anyway because he's going to be back? Last time we addressed this issue on the podcast, that's, I think, where we both stood, is that Pruitt is going to get a year four at Tennessee. Is that still the way you feel?
No, I really don't. I just think the way the season continues to unfold with bad losses, when you look at it, when you compare him to what his predecessor did, when you look at him at being in year three, think about it. He's lost to a 25 or 26 point underdog Georgia State to begin the 2019 season, arguably the worst loss in modern Tennessee football history. He also absorbed the worst beating from Kentucky this season, 34-7, worst loss in Kentucky in modern UT football history. He hasn't come close to Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. How much evidence do you really need? We still have that buyout. I mean, I still think it's a factor. I just think the way I feel it's less of a factor now than I did a couple of weeks ago when we brought this up. And admittedly, what happened at South Carolina affects my decision on that.
A couple of things I would point out. One thing, Tennessee is known to have less in its athletic department reserve than many other universities have. I believe at last check, Tennessee's athletic department reserve stood at $10.8 million. So it doesn't have enough in its athletics reserve to cover a buyout. You know, could that cause a pumping in the brakes? I think it's possible. You know, that they might be less positioned to make a change than what some other universities would be. And, you know, in the people I talk to, John, the arguments for keeping Pruitt in year four, it is pretty much all tied to, well, Tennessee's just not going to stomach that buyout in a pandemic year where the athletic department is going to lose $40 million in revenue, which we've talked about before. But what's interesting is I'm not really hearing from anybody that I talk to, John, that, well, Tennessee wants to keep Pruitt because they think he's going to get this solved in year four. The reasoning I always hear is the buyout is just too much in a year where Tennessee is going to lose $40 million. And I think that's interesting, and that has to factor into the decision. I mean, even though, as we've discussed, athletic departments are going to still make eyebrow-raising moves in the midst of a pandemic and pay huge buyouts at certain places, you know, it is a factor at Tennessee, but it is interesting that's really the argument for keeping Pruitt at this juncture is, A, they got to end the cycle of constantly changing through head coaches, and B, the buyout's just too much. I'm not hearing any that there's still a lot of belief that Jeremy Pruitt is the guy to get Tennessee on track.
The mindset of you can't keep constantly changing head coaches, that's a loser's mentality. If you're hiring bad coaches and you don't change them, where does that lead? So, yeah, the idea is to go change coaches and hire the right coach. Maybe the law of averages catches up to Tennessee this time. But I can remember last year hearing the same thing about Will Muschamp at South Carolina. It was secondhand, but from South Carolina boosters saying, well, the buyout is too significant. We just can't do that. Now, that wasn't in the middle of COVID-19, granted, but even then, see, that was the message. But keep in mind, football just doesn't matter as much at South Carolina as it does at Tennessee. And would South Carolina have been better off if it made a change last year? I think it would have, because you're just continuing – You're continuing the losing by keeping around one more year. So if you don't think your coach can get it done, that to me has to be the ultimate decision maker. If you don't believe your coach can get it done, then you need to make a change. I mean, just postponing the inevitable, what purpose does that serve? And also, when we're talking about money, Blake, how much will this cost Tennessee in revenue if it keeps a coach who's not doing well and he continues not to do well next year? Another factor is Tennessee will be better next year because it will get four non-conference games against an easy non-conference schedule. It's going to win four more games. That's cool.
Well, hold on, John. You were counting Georgia State as a win, too.
Okay. Sure. Well, okay. Yeah, good point. But I'll play the percentages here and say there won't be a Georgia State next year. For just a hypothetical discussion, so let's say Tennessee wins four non-conference games, goes 3-5 in the league. It's still 7-5, so he's improved over his third season, and you could say, well, he's heading in the direction, even if you know the direction really isn't going to lead to where you want it to lead. I just think it would be easier to make a change after this season if it goes 3-7. Now, what if Tennessee wins the rest of its games?
Oh, well, then there's no question. There's no question he's coming back for year four. If Tennessee wins out, if they beat Florida, there's no question.
I'm still making hypothetical scenario here.
You're also operating in fantasy world if you're thinking Tennessee's going to win out.
I just thought I'd throw that out there. Okay. You hesitated before you responded, so that concerned me. But, okay, say you're given this choice. You're running the university right now. You're in charge. What would you do?
Well, I guess a better question for you to answer, John. But I guess where I stand is it's different if you knew you could get Hugh Freeze or not. You know, if you knew that the administration was on board with hiring Hugh Freeze, that they were willing to take his baggage, if you knew that Greg Sankey wasn't going to stand in the way, and you knew that Hugh Freeze wanted Tennessee over any job that was otherwise going to come available on the market, then that's one thing. If you don't know that, if you're saying it's Jeremy Pruitt versus the field, which would be like Billy Napier and a cast of others, I don't know. I think a strong argument could be made for giving this one more season, even though we seem to be seeing the path is headed down. You wait another, you get a recruiting class that I think would be better if you hang on to Pruitt this year. I think this recruiting class could become a mess if you make a coaching change, especially with the situation of official visits are not happening this year with the pandemic going on. So I think unless you felt like the Freeze hire was a slam dunk, I think Pruitt, the better play could be to bring Pruitt back for year four, because, I mean, who else is out there that Tennessee is going to get this cycle that could really change the, and maybe that's a loser's mentality. Maybe you say, well, we go get who you want to go get, but Tennessee hasn't been able to do that in the past. And so it would probably end up with someone like a Billy Napier or someone of that ilk if it couldn't get Hugh Freeze. So, and I think if you're asking me what's more likely right now, I think it's more likely that Pruitt is back in year four than not. I still feel that way. I maybe feel that way a little bit less than I did a couple weeks ago. And if Tennessee loses to Vanderbilt, then I would feel a lot less strongly about that than I do now. But I think as we sit right now, it's still fairly likely that Jeremy Pruitt will be back for a fourth season, because we haven't even got into the discussion of if Tennessee wants to make a head coaching change, it might also have to make an athletic director change. Something we've addressed previously on this podcast is Philip Fulmer, after hiring Pruitt, after giving Pruitt an extension, really get a chance to hire the next head coach? I'm not so sure he would. And are you able to pull all that together? I guess the same argument could be made for South Carolina. I mean, with Ray Tanner sitting there, he's in the same situation at South Carolina, and it didn't stop them.
No, and apparently they're letting Ray Tanner go hire another guy. Okay, another hypothetical for you. Let's say Hugh Freeze says, I want to stay at Liberty for the rest of my career. I want to retire here. So he's not coming to Tennessee or going anywhere else. What about Lane Kiffin? What if Lane Kiffin calls you and said, I want to come back home?
Well, again, you'd have to make a change at athletic director before that would ever happen. Philip Fulmer's not going to hire Lane Kiffin. And that's a moot point to you, John. Was that implied in that question, I guess?
Well, I mean, Philip Fulmer wouldn't, he doesn't have any more leverage. So you can forget what Philip Fulmer wants. A lot of fans still want Lane Kiffin back here. It's amazing how that has evolved.
Well, a lot of fans still want Philip Fulmer back as coach too. And a lot of fans still wish Johnny Majors was coach too. And a lot of fans wanted John Gruden as a coach. So history tells me that what fans want tends to not happen.
Well, you see, when we talk about who would be a good coaching candidate, well, to me, the best coaching candidate is working for Fox right now. Sure. Urban Meyer, he's not calling up Tennessee. Tennessee could say, Urban, we're going to pay you $10 million to come coach Tennessee football. And he's going to say, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. I want to win games more than I want to make money. So he'll probably take Jim Harbaugh's place at Michigan. That's my prediction. Would Tennessee want to pick up Jim Harbaugh on the rebound?
I think not.
Okay. I'm trying to think of other. We've got Hugh Freeze. He kind of stands out. Is there anybody else that's on the same turf right now?
I don't think there's anybody else that you couldn't get a year from now, and maybe that's just delaying the inevitable. But I just, from where I'm sitting, I still think Pruitt's back in year four. So I guess I haven't really allowed myself to go too far down the rabbit hole past Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, well, based on Tennessee's track record in hiring, I'm sure it'll all work out for the best.
No doubt. I wanted to touch briefly, John, on what's been the dominating story in Knoxville over the last week. And it was the story first reported in our publication, the News Sentinel, on Friday, that eight Tennessee assistants declined pay cuts. They were the only individuals in the athletic department who did so. And of course, Jeremy Pruitt then on Monday said they now might change their mind.
The situation is fluid. All I can say is this is the final chapter has not been written on that. And they will continue to look and see and meet with our administration to see whatever they can do to help supplement the university.
Probably no coincidence that their changing of mind might come after the publication of that story. But how much damage do you think that did or didn't do to any remaining goodwill that Pruitt and the staff might have had? The fact that, you know, more than 170 people in the athletic department took pay cuts, and there were eight, and many of those people had no choice. They were at-will employees who had no choice about it. And then there were 18 contract employees, including every head coach other than Jeremy Pruitt, who was not asked to take a pay cut because he declined a raise in 2020. The athletic department did not ask Pruitt to take a pay cut. But how much do you think the fact that eight assistants declined pay cuts, do you think that damaged the goodwill in any substantial way, or do you think that any goodwill was already gone when Tennessee lost to Kentucky and Arkansas?
Yes, goodwill was already at a low ebb, but your story, kudos to you for writing that and researching it and informing Jeremy Pruitt of what's going on with this program.
I knew that they were being approached about it. I didn't know the outcome until Blake wrote the article on Friday. So, and what Blake wrote was factual, right? So, but I do believe, like I said before, that the final story has not been written there yet. It's a fluid situation in the contract.
I'm sure he was
things change,
enlightened so by that a story based on his comments, you know, because he said he didn't know that the assistants were not taking a pay cut. But I think it was horrible from a public relations standpoint in this era of reductions, downsizing, layoffs, pay cuts for those coaches, all of whom, based on Tennessee's record, are drastically overpaid. For eight of them, not say, nah, we're not taking a pay cut. We earn that money. We're under contract. Don't even think about it. So, yeah, I think it was horrible goodwill. And the goodwill is gone now. It doesn't matter what those eight coaches decide to do now. If they take a volunteer pay cut now, it's just because they were pretty much pressured into doing it. So it's gone. There's no goodwill to be had here. So I think it was horrible from a PR standpoint. And I think it was really bad from camaraderie within the program. Maybe I'm being too idealistic here. But all these other people, usually you think of athletic departments of kind of being united, of we're all in this together, that kind of thing, the basketball program, the women's basketball program, football, tennis, golf, baseball, all working, all have the same employer, all answer to the same fans, all should be headed in the same direction. I've heard UT coaches speak on this at press conferences, putting up a very united front. What does that do for this? I mean, it just doesn't work. It doesn't look good, doesn't sound good. So the damage is done. You're not fixing the damage. You can't go back and change that 34-7 loss to Kentucky. Well, you can't change this either.
Yeah, and I should mention, John, that there were two people in the football program who did accept pay cuts, T. Martin and Jay Graham. Yeah, the two former Vols who played for Philip Fulmer. They accepted pay cuts. No other member of the staff did. And so that bears mentioning. All right, John, I want to close with this. It feels like we're doing a weekly update on this, but since we've already delved into hypotheticals anyway, you know, Greg Sankey hates those hypotheticals. He won't answer hypotheticals, but luckily this isn't Greg Sankey's podcast. We love him. We love talking hypotheticals. So I want to close with this. Let's say Tennessee finishes 3-7 this season. Let's say Tennessee loses to Auburn this week, loses to A&M, Florida, but beats Vanderbilt for a 3-7 finish. Is Jeremy Pruitt coaching Tennessee in 2021, in your opinion?
Just based on that, if we don't break it down anymore, if Tennessee gets blown out by Florida, gets blown out by Texas A&M, I don't think he will be.
All right, we'll see. I'm sure there'll be more to discuss on this topic in the coming weeks. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.